And Brother Curtis. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the message from Brother Justin on Sunday and for filling in for me. And I am starting to get a little of my life back. So I'm thankful for that. Thankful to the Lord for His goodness. You never can take your health for granted. Amen. Yeah, I had gotten so dehydrated from being sick that I had some of my hip flexor muscles had seized on me on Saturday and Sunday. I was almost crippled. I felt like, what in the world? I didn't know what was going on with my body. I was just having all kinds of troubles. But I'm thankful for the Lord's goodness and giving me some time down and just rest and recover. If you're participating in our Bible reading, you've probably been reading through Joshua and about the conquering of the promised land or the land of Canaan. And there we read about how the people of God faced spiritual enemies, battles, blessings. They faced hills and valleys. I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 11, that it says that Canaan is a land of hills and valleys. You know, I was researching today's Bible reading, and when Joshua led Israel to Gibeon, and remember the alliance of kings that went to attack Gibeon because Gibeon had made peace with Israel. And so Joshua got the troops together and they went all night. And I figured it up. It was just somewhere over 20 miles that they had to march through the night. And they climbed an elevation of over 3,000 feet. And so I estimated that it would take them at least 7 hours if they were marching nonstop. So we're looking at probably 10 hours, 7 to 10 hours through the night, marching, getting to Gibeon, and then fighting all day long. And so let's just assume 12 hours, and then remember Joshua prayed that God would have the sun stand still, and it was for about a whole day. And I'm thinking a whole day would be 24 hours, almost 24 hours. So I'm looking at 36 hours plus 10 hours, almost 2 days that they were marching and going to war without any sleep. Pretty amazing how God sustained them and gave them strength for the battle. But I was wondering today what means God used to refresh them physically and spiritually. The Bible doesn't say. And Joshua, that's not the purpose of Joshua, just to tell us about the conquering of the promised land. But I just wondered in my own heart and mind what God did to sustain them and refresh them. I say all that to say this as an introduction to the message tonight, that the Christian life is much like conquering Canaan. It's much like conquering the promised land. Because in the Christian life, we also face enemies. We face battles as well as blessings. We go over hills and mountaintops and also in the valleys. You know, you think about it, you cannot get mountaintops without valleys. You can't have it one way. We all like to live on the mountaintop, but you have to go through the valley to get on the mountaintop, and you have to climb the mountain to get on the mountaintop. Having said that, I just say that it's the Christian life is a place that is not easy, and it's a place where we get tired and we get weary. Weariness is just a part of the Christian life. both physical weariness, spiritual weariness. But I'm thankful for this, that along the way, God gives us refreshment. He gives us refreshment. I want to ask tonight, before we get started, are you weary? And do you need some refreshment tonight? And I could be talking of physical or spiritual. And as I was studying this passage this past week, I spent a lot of time praying through these verses last week when I was sick. Especially the first two verses in this stanza. I was crying out every day, "Consider my affliction! And plead my cause, deliver me!" You know, those were some of my heart cries to God last week. And I was definitely weary physically and spiritually. And I'm thankful the Lord's starting to refresh me. So as we look at our passage tonight, we're going to see that how that we can have spiritual refreshment and revival in the Lord and in His Word. And before we read this, I just want to point out that one of the key phrases is "quicken me." Quicken me. That's the key phrase in this passage. It's used three times in David's prayer where he says, "Quicken me." It's used in verse 154, verse 156, and verse 159. But here's what it means. We've talked about it before, but I want to refresh your memory. It means revive me, restore me, refresh me. Those are some of the things that the idea behind quicken me. Asking God to revive us, to give us life again, to restore us back to life, to restore us back in His favor, to refresh us, you know, as we get weary in this spiritual walk through this life, this journey through life, we need to be refreshed. And it's basically saying, God, lift me up and keep me going. You know, someone said it was put it this way. I think it was Spurgeon. He said, when we ask God to quicken us, it means we're asking for more love, more grace, more faith, more courage, more strength. And if we get these, we can hold up our heads before our adversaries. And so you get the idea of what it means to be quickened by God. And so I'm going to take the term refreshment. And our title of the message tonight, of course, is spiritual refreshment. So let's read these verses beginning in verse 153 through verse 160. And then we're going to pray. He said, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Father, tonight we're so grateful that we can draw near to you when we're spiritually weary, that we can plead and cry unto you to be quickened, to be refreshed. And Father, I'm thankful that you use various means to refresh us. But primarily you use the Word of God to refresh us spiritually. Father, I'm thankful for your Word tonight. And as the psalmist said, it's true from the beginning. From Genesis to Revelation, it's true. and it endures forever. I'm thankful that Your Word is truthful, just as You are, and that Your Word is filled with promises that we can cling to. And so, Father, tonight, as we go to Your Word, I pray, Lord, that You would give us a refreshing tonight. Lord, that as we look at these precious truths, that we would be refreshed spiritually tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see that David asked the Lord three times to quicken him. He said, "Quicken me, O Lord." And, that's the main thought that we see, the main phrase. And he requests this because he says in verse 153, verse 153, because consider my affliction. So he was having affliction. And so that's why he's asking God, "I want You to quicken me because I'm going through affliction." But then we see in verse 157, he had many persecutors and enemies that were around him. And so he needed God's quickening because the afflictions were wearing down upon him spiritually and physically. The enemies that he was warring against made him weary. And I imagine that Joshua and his troops, I'm sure they were weary after defeating all those kings and their armies. And it's weary in spiritual battle. As you battle against spiritual enemies, it's wearisome. And so David's crying out because of these reasons. But everything that he asked of the Lord in this stanza, he asked on the basis of his relationship with God. I want you to notice some of these things before we get into our first point. In verse 153, he said, "For I do not forget thy law." You know, David he's not saying that he never forgets the Word of God, but what this indicates is a neglect of the Word of God, an ignoring of the Word of God. And that's what the wicked were doing. The wicked ignored the Word of God. They totally neglected what God had to say. But David, as he's praying, he said, "God, I don't forget Your law." In verse 157, "Yet do I not decline from Thy testimonies." So what I want you to see is that he's praying on the basis of his faith. And remember, faith is the activity of our theology. And so he's living by faith. He's not forgetting the Word of God. He's not declining from God's Word. But then we see in verse 159, "Consider how I love Thy precepts." He loved God and His Word. So this speaks of relationship. David had a relationship with God. He was walking with God by faith. There was activity in his faith. He was remembering the Word of God. He was not turning away from it. His enemies, even though he was being persecuted, he was still keeping the Word of God. He was still following the Word of God. He still loved the Word of God. And he's not saying this to say that he deserved what he's asking God for. That's not why he's saying that. But he's basically saying, "God, I'm one of Your children. I'm not one of these wicked where salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not Thy statutes." He's trying to point out and remind God, "Listen, I'm one of Yours. I belong to You. I'm seeking You." And so tonight, as we look at this passage, I want to say this. The Word of God is the source of refreshment. And refreshment is according to the Word of God. The Word of God is the source of refreshment. And refreshment is according to the Word of God. Because we're going to see tonight how that He, when He prays, quicken me, when He prays, refresh me, God, revive me, restore me, He's praying according to the Word. And that's point number one. Quicken me according to Thy Word. We see that phrase in verse 154. Quicken me according to Thy Word. Now let's look at these first two verses that, in which we find this first pleading for God to quicken him according to His Word. I want you to notice how it begins. He said, consider my affliction. Consider my affliction. He's not asking, this is not just asking God to notice. This is asking God to do something. When He says consider, He wants God to do something about His affliction. He's praying for God to intervene. And you know, if God He sees something, then there's an assumption God's going to do something. So he's praying, God, I want You to consider. I want You to see my situation, my need, and deliver me. You know, I'm so thankful that our Father, He can see our need. And not only can He see our need, but He can see to providing for our need. Aren't you thankful for that? How do we know that? Well, the multitude of promises in the Word of God. I mean, there's multitudes of promises. When David says, quicken me according to Thy Word, I want you to understand that the Hebrew word behind word is the word Imrah. Remember, that one was used a promised word. It's speaking of a promise. So, God's Word is filled with promises. So David here is praying according to promises. And I'm thinking about 1 Peter 3:12, where it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. You know, that's a wonderful verse to think about. That's what the Word promises us. That God's eyes are upon us. When He says, consider me, O Lord. And that's a quotation from Psalm 34:15, by the way. Psalm 34:15, it says the same thing. So Psalm 34:15, where He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Well, David is saying, God, I want You to consider me. I want You, that word consider, to, I want You to see me. I want You to see my need. And he's praying according to the Word. He's asking God to do something according to His promises. When He says, and deliver me, this is a term that's used in the context of armed conflict or warfare for a rescue mission. You may have heard of rescue missions where they send a SEAL team in or some kind of special forces will go in on a rescue mission to take someone out of the enemy's hand to deliver them. And that's how this Hebrew word was used back in that time of a rescue mission. And so David is, as he's praying, he's thinking of this spiritual warfare mentality. He has these enemies around him and he wants God to take up a rescue mission and deliver him. The root of the Hebrew word means to withdraw or to take out. And that's what a rescue mission is. It withdraws someone out. It takes someone out of a dangerous situation. So David, he was in a dangerous situation. He was in it could have been a deadly situation with his enemies. It could have been dangerous spiritually. He could have been tempted to, you know, turn away from the Lord. But he's praying God to come and draw him out of this situation. But right after crying out for this rescue, he gives the reason for God to do this. For I do not forget thy law. And again, he's marking himself as one who belongs to God. One who's wearing the right uniform. It's when you go on a rescue mission, you're not there to get the enemy out. You're there to get your key member out. And so David's praying accordingly. I need you to come and deliver me. In the next verse, we read, David prays, plead my cause and deliver me. Plead my cause. This is a legal term. This is a term used of an advocate. An advocate. To champion one's cause before the judge. So when he's saying, plead for me, or plead my cause, he's saying, God, I want you to come and fight my fight. That's what he's saying. When you hire an attorney, you're wanting that attorney to fight your fight, to plead your cause. And that's what he's asking of the Lord. I want you to champion my cause. And you know, this ties in beautifully with what we're learning in Hebrews about Jesus being our great high priest. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. He intercedes for us before the throne of grace. Isn't it wonderful? Because tonight, if you are a child of God, there's going to be times you're going to need deliverance, just like David needed it. There's going to be times you're going to need an advocate, just like David did. And that's what he's crying out to God for. Deliverance and a divine advocate. Then he says, quicken me according to thy word. He is praying. David is praying according to the promises found in God's word. Praying according to the promises found in God's word. I want you to think about this. This is a biblical prayer request. Let's stop and think about our prayer requests. When we pray to God, are they biblical requests? Are they based on a biblical promise? Are we praying according to God's word? You know, this word according to, I want to explain what it means. It means in agreement with. Is our request in agreement with His word? Well, David's was. I think of another verse, a promise in Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So very plainly, God tells us in Psalm 50:15, that to call on Him in the day of trouble. When we are in affliction, when we are in trouble, He invites us to call upon Him. And He promises, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In our affliction, it's very comforting to know that Jesus intercedes for us. He hears our prayers. He meets our needs for spiritual refreshment according to His promises. You know, I think what Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, I think of refreshment when I hear that word. So we have His promise. Well, let's look at the second one tonight. He said, quicken me according to thy judgment. The second one is found in verse 156. Where he says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And I'll say that first phrase, great are thy tender mercies. David's declaring the great and numerous mercies of the Lord. The tender mercies of God. The word great, the adjective here, great, means much. Many, great, abundant. So when he's talking about his tender mercies, he's talking about it's abundant. It's abundant. His tender mercies are many, much, great towards his children. I'm so thankful for his tender mercies. And tender mercies, it speaks of His... it speaks of the sympathy, the compassion, concern, and genuine care of God. And the verse that comes to my mind, Hebrews 4:15, how that Jesus is, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Think about that verse, how He was touched. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He has great, tender compassion towards us. And so on the basis of that, in Hebrews He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly, because we have a God who is great in tender mercy toward us. But let's say this, quicken me according to thy judgments. And we've talked about this over and over. Judgments is another name for the Word of God. But it means in particular God's decisions. And when you think about the judgments, you think of a judge making a ruling or a decision. You know, whatever the judge says is going to go. I mean, if the judge pronounces some kind of judgment, that's how it's going to be. If the judge says to the person that's been convicted, found guilty by the jury, and he says, well, you're going to serve a life sentence in prison, that's his judgment. And so there's a lot of judgments in the Word of God when we look in the Word of God. And so He says, quicken me according to thy judgments. You know, I was thinking about this one day when I was praying, and I was thinking about how that God judged my sin on the cross. I was thinking about how through the blood of Christ, I'm justified. I'm pronounced by God righteous. You know, justified is a legal term that means declared righteous. And so I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know, we have every right to come to God and plead with Him to quicken us. Why? Because His judgment against our sin was taken care of at the cross. The blood of Jesus was shed for our sins. And so we're redeemed and we're forgiven. I didn't point it out, but in verse 154, that word deliver is a different one from the first one. The first one, remember, we talked about it. It's a term of rescuing someone on a rescue mission. The second one is the word that's used for the kinsman redeemer, a concept in the Old Testament that God gave to the children of Israel. Like when a brother would fall on hard times and he would become a bond slave to pay off his debt. Or maybe he would have to sell his farm or his land so that he could repay a debt or some crime that he had committed that he has to pay. Well, the near kin could come and redeem his brother. He would have to pay the money, but then the land would go back to his brother. Or if his brother was a bond slave, his brother would be set free. But that concept is found beautifully in the book of Ruth. I'm not going to get into that, but it all points to our kinsman redeemer, Jesus. You know, Jesus is the near kin of all of us. Because when you look at the genealogy of Matthew and Luke, Matthew traces him back, you know, showing the Jewish side of it and tracing him back to David and Abraham. But when you look at Luke, it goes all the way back to Adam. Think about that. He's our near kin. And in fact, the Bible says Jesus is our brother, our elder brother. And He came to redeem us. He came to ransom us. He came to buy us back out of our sin. And so that plead my cause, deliver me, that He uses redeem, kinsman redeemer. And I look at the judgments. You know, God When He pronounces something, that's how it is. So when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, it's finished. When a sinner comes to Jesus and they trust Him as their Lord and Savior, they're saved. They're justified. They're sanctified. That's a pronouncement. That's a judgment of God. And so David coming to Him, Lord, quicken me according to Thy judgments. So we too can pray according to the Word of God. The promises in the Word of God. The judgments that are pronounced in the Word of God. But as we come to this third one, it's quicken me according to Thy loving kindness. He didn't ask according to the Word of God, but he asked according to the loving kindness of God. And David here, this is the second time the word considers used. The first one, verse 153, consider my affliction. But here he said, God, I want you to consider my affection. I want you to consider my affection. Consider how I love Thy precepts. He loved them. He loved them so much that he was grieved at the transgressors because they kept not Thy word. Verse 158. I wonder how we are affected when people around us break God's word. You know, we're in this month called Pride Month. That's a prime example. I know it's not a popular topic, but if we're going to stand on the Word of God, we can't be proud about any sin that God says is sin. It doesn't matter if it's drunkenness. It doesn't matter if it's adultery, fornication. It doesn't matter if it's idolatry, lying, stealing, homosexuality. It doesn't matter. We shouldn't be proud about it. It should grieve us. If we really love the Word of God, it will grieve us. And when people say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm gay, they don't love the Word of God. We should be broken by our sin. I don't know about you, but sin, my sin grieves me. I know it grieves the Holy Spirit. But my sin also grieves me. I don't like it. I don't like it when I sin. I don't like it when others sin. I'm not saying we're to be judgmental. I'm not saying we're to be condemning of people. But I'm just saying that sin should do something in our hearts. When we see people break the Word of God, it should grieve us. Consider how I love Thy precepts, he said. But then he, for the third time, quickened me, O Lord, according to Thy loving kindness. I want to say this, that refreshment is never deserved or earned. It is never deserved or earned, but it is given from the loving kindness of God. We don't deserve anything from the Lord. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to be the child of God that we are. Loving kindness comes from a Hebrew word we talked about before, and it's really hard to give just one simple definition, but sometimes it's translated mercy in our Bible. But it speaks of God's love and His kindness for His people that's steadfast. That speaks of a covenant love. A love that's between those in covenant with Him. By sacrifice, of course. If you're in the new covenant and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in that covenant, and the love He has for you is steadfast. It's enduring. But I want you to notice how He closes this section out. He closes with a statement about the Word of God. Thy Word is true from the beginning, that every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You know, God's Word has been true from the first moment that it was spoken. It has been true throughout all history. You know, there are people today, as I said, I talked about this lifestyle that people are promoting today, that they're saying that it's different now. Everything's changed. God hasn't changed. And God's Word hasn't changed. And we have changed. Our culture has changed, but God hasn't. God's Word's true from the beginning. If it was true in the Old Testament, it's true today. It's been true throughout all of history. It's been true from the moment we first believed it. And it was true even before we believed it. But not only is it true from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, but He says, every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So it endures. That's how I know that it's still true today, because we have the promise. His Word endures. It endures. I'd rather speak the truth about God's Word and be hated and be persecuted, and then I would to be wrong. Then I would to go against the Word of God. We have to stand for truth, but do it in love. Speak the truth in love. You know, I was listening to a conversation that some of you probably heard of Ray Comfort. He does a lot of videos and of witnessing the people in Huntington Beach, California. He's from New Zealand. He's got quite an accent. Sounds like Australian to me. But he will go out on camera at the beach there in California, and he will go up to all kinds of people and talk to him about Jesus. I mean, you see the craziest people, and he's not afraid. You ought to look him up and watch some of his videos, but I was watching one the other night. He was talking to these two homosexual men, and it was powerful. He was loving about it, but he was asking them questions. Question after question. He was just shooting questions, and he started sharing, you know, like, because they believed in God, and then he started sharing about, do you believe you're a good person? And yeah, I'm a good person. How do you believe you're a good person? And then he would talk about, you know, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? And oh yeah, well, how many of the commandments can you tell me of? And they gave maybe two, maybe three, and one of them was cursing the whole time. And so the other one was like looking at him, you're breaking the commandment. You're blaspheming God. And but anyway, as he was talking to him, and you could just see how the Word of God was working on, especially that one, the conviction that came upon him. And he said, what am I supposed to do? And so he talked to him about Christ. The guy didn't get saved, but I tell you what, the Word of God did something in his heart, and I could tell that when they went away that he was thinking about it. But I just share that to say this, that you can share the truth in love. with people in that kind of lifestyle or any kind of sin, if you do it with the love of Christ, the Word of God will convict people. The Word of God is true. Every man is a liar. What the Bible says. And so let's just speak the truth and love. Well, sorry I got on that rabbit trail. But anyway, the Word of God, as He ends this whole section of the Word of God, I'll go back and say that, as I said in the beginning, that the Word of God is the source of our refreshment. I'm not saying it's the only source. God uses different things to refresh us. I get that. But it is a source of refreshment. And refreshment is according to the Word of God, as we learned tonight. That it's based on the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God. It's in agreement with the Word of God. You cannot have true refreshment apart from the Word of God. Just like I say, you can't say, well, I believe that it's okay to do this. But the Bible says it's not okay. But you can't have true refreshment living that lifestyle. You can't. The only way you can have it is through the Word of God. It has to be in agreement with the Word of God. And so if you're weary tonight, if you're spiritually weary, you need refreshment, just remember this. Like David, you can go to God. You can go to the Lord. You can go to His Word. You can pray according to His Word. You can cling to the promises of the Word. And God will quicken you. He will give you some life. He will restore you. He will refresh you. You know, a verse that is pretty famous in 2 Samuel, and I totally forgot. I think it's in chapter 30, verse 5. That's what my memory's saying, but I could be off. But where David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, his people were about to stone him. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What does that mean? It means he got strength in the Lord. He got encouragement, refreshment. He was, you know, it'd be discouraging that the people you're leading, they want to stone you. That's pretty hard for a leader to take. But he went to the Lord. And God gave him encouragement. And I'm telling you tonight, we can do the same. We can go to the Lord tonight and get encouragement, refreshment. This last quote I've given in your handout, I want to read it. It says, "The Word is one of the few things that continues unshaken and immovable through the ages. Happy the man who," I think it's supposed to be, "whose life is built on that foundation." Isn't that good? Amen. That is good. You know, because he's talking about afflictions. He's talking about enemies. He's talking about persecutors. You remember Achan in our Bible reading, Joshua? He crumbled to temptation. He gave in to temptation. It cost him, didn't it? It cost his family. He was part of the people of God. We are the people of God, those of us that know Christ. We can be moved by our trials and afflictions. We can be shaken up. But the Word of God will never be moved and shaken. It stands forever. So let's build on that foundation. And, you know, it's funny. I didn't tell Curtis title of my message. He planned these songs out, but pretty neat tonight on "Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." And wonderful words of life. Life that what? It gives us reviving, refreshment. That what does? The wonderful words do. The words of God give us life. And trust and obey. Those powerful songs that teach us about how wise it is for us to build our lives on the Word of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You so much again for the solid foundation of Your Word that we have, Your Word that's true from the beginning, Your Word that endures forever and never changes. God, help us to conform our lives to Your Word and not try to change Your Word to fit our lifestyle. I know, Lord, it's not easy to stand for Your Word today. God, help us to be true soldiers of Christ. Help us to be faithful men and women of God who love God and who stand on the solid foundation of Your Word. And the battle's going to cause us to get weary. We'll get weary physically. We'll get weary spiritually. But I'm thankful, Lord, that You give us refreshment along the way. As we go to Your Word, as we run to You in prayer and spend time with You and cling to Your promises, we get refreshment. We get encouragement. We get strength. We get more love. We get more grace to be able to stand up in the midst of the afflictions and be able to stand up against our adversaries. God, we thank You tonight for Your Word. Thank You tonight for the Savior that we have, who is our advocate, who pleads our cause before Your throne. Oh, thank You, Jesus, for delivering us, redeeming us from our sins. God, I pray that You continue to bless Your Word that we've heard tonight, that we would continue to meditate upon these truths throughout this week. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.